Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listeners. This is Divya Parekh, your Today Show with the Beyond Confidence radio show for the today. And today's show is going to be on collaboration. I am honored to have very powerful ladies on our Today Show, and I'm looking forward to a powerful, information-packed, and fun-packed show for next hour. So welcome, listeners, and I'm going to introduce our panel today. So one of our first panels is Dr. Takiya Anthony. She is an assistant professor of history at Edward Waters College in Jacksonville, Florida. She's also the founder of Dr. Takiya Speaks. She has spoken on panels and lectured throughout the world and United States. She has published several articles and book chapters. And she's the first African-American female from her town to earn a PhD in history. Congratulations, Dr. Takiya. Our next panelist is Tamara McMillan, and she's an award-winning professor, TEDx speaker, and blogger specializing in leadership, women's empowerment, and professional development. She's the CEO of McMillan Empowerment Enterprise and an adjunct professor at SUNY Buffalo State. Ebony Johnson, CEO of Meet and Connect Incorporated, is dedicated to social media management and helping entrepreneurs build productive networks. She believes that every woman should have a strong sister circle to lead, support, and empower her as she embarks on her success journey. And a little bit about myself, your host. I am an internationally known leadership coach. I've supported business owners, leaders, entrepreneurs, and achievers to accomplish success. I have the fortune to be a co-author of bestseller book, The Voyage to Your Vision. And I help people uncover their hidden motivators to achieve tough goals with laser focus and unstoppable confidence. And without further ado, I would like to take this minute and welcome each and every one of you. And I'm going to invite you to share a little bit about yourself. How about you?
Well, first, thank you for having me. It's such a pleasure to be on the show. Just a little bit about myself. As you stated, I am a history professor at Edward Waters College in Jacksonville, Florida. And to add to that introduction, I have recently founded the Bowling Green Cool Kids Beauty Pageant. And this is a fundraiser that allows students from Bowling Green, Kentucky, my hometown, to go on HBCU college tours. We have had several organizations in the past to partake in these activities. However, because of budget cut, a lot of our programs are not able to continue with the services. So I wanted to step in and hedge the gap to make sure that the youth in Bowling Green, Kentucky are able to experience the college life and see and go on college tours. So I have recently founded the Bowling Green Cool Kids Beauty Pageant to help in these endeavors, and I look forward to assisting with the youth in my hometown, Bowling Green, Kentucky. Again, thank you for having me on the panel.
What a noble cause. Thank you, Takiya, for doing this. And as we get into the show, I would really like you to share with our listeners if they're feeling generous and would like to donate to your cause. So please do share your website later on. And thank you for this great introduction. Tamara,
Yes, yes. Thank you so very much again for having us really excited about the opportunity and the space that we've created to be here today. So in addition to the great introduction, I'm a speaker, educator, and coach for McMillan Empowerment Enterprise. And really simply, we are about supporting individuals, in particular women and girls, chase their dreams. And one of the things that we found within our work, we've created spaces for women to come together to be authentic, to let their hair down in a way that they don't feel like they have to censor their material because they're fearful that they may be judged. We realize this. All, for the most part, we want is for individuals to stand in the gap for us, to clap for us, so we create that space via roundtable discussions like Cupcakes and Conversations where we can come together and talk about those things. Also with coaching, we talk to women about what are they passionate about, how it is connected to their purpose, and then how, if they want to, how can they make it profitable, and we allow them to do so by introducing them to things that maybe sparkle at them and move them forward. And I'm a blogger with an online magazine that highlights, supports, and empowers women. It is called Stilettos on the Glass Ceiling, based out of San Diego, California, and I write under their career advice.
Wow. That is wonderful that you're creating that space for women to step into their power and go forward. Letting the hair down. I love that phrase.
Yes. Thank you.
And Ebony?
Yes. How are you doing tonight, Divya?
Good. How are you? It's great to have you on the show.
Yes. Thank you for having me. Well, as far as Meet and Connect Incorporated goes, I help people, entrepreneurs and small business owners, build productive networks and connect with like-minded people. We also do social media management. I'm specialized in building interactive networking events, and in my spare time, I'm motivating college students to achieve their life goals.
Very great. And listeners, I have to share that Ebony is a dear friend of mine, and we are working on some great projects together. So we are very fortunate to have this powerhouse today. And I'm going to jump straight into the show. And I'm going to invite each and every one of you to share your key values that you hold true to your heart, the values that dictate your actions day in and day out, and how these values have shaped you into the woman that you are today. This powerful, this conglomerate of skill sets and mindsets, and that will really help our listeners. So, and Ebony, why don't you share?
Well, a few of my values that I hold very near and dear to me are, first, be a woman of integrity. Next will be uplift, acknowledge, and embrace. So uplift, as far as other sisters that are in the market, make sure that you are supporting them in everything that they're doing. As far as acknowledge the strengths and talents that other female entrepreneurs are bringing to the table. Respect that, appreciate that, and embrace the women that are different than you. There are women that may be smarter than you. They may be more skilled in something than you are, but embrace them. Why not?
Embrace the difference. And we are all different.
Yes.
We are all unique, so regardless of where we
Absolutely.
Come from or who we are. Great.
Absolutely. And that's what makes us special. Definitely embrace it.
Tamara, if you can share your values as well.
Wow. I think one of the first things that come to mind is authenticity. And I think in a world that is filled with so many kind of glitz and no glamour, or all glitz and glamour and no substance, authenticity is very important to me. I remember growing up and my mother saying to my sisters, and I have two sisters, that we can do anything, but we can do those things if we are who we are. So being true, the whole idea of being authentic, and organic, but one of the other things, too, I've grown into is being unapologetic. I think all too often, again, as women, sometimes we apologize too much, and especially apologize when we shouldn't be apologizing because we are go-getters, because we are moving past things. We are connected to things that are bigger than us. And then the other thing for me is faith, having faith that I know that there are things that are bigger than me and that will move me forward, and there are individuals that are watching, like my daughter, like the young women that I have an opportunity to come in contact with at SUNY Buffalo State. I want to be that role model for them that they can see themselves in and understand that they can realize their goals as well.
Mm-hmm. Very powerful. Authenticity. And that is so true. In the crowd that we are today, everyone competing, what's in it for me? And in this world where everything, you know, social media, especially on social media, if you're in a certain group, usually people tend to accommodate the behaviors that are expected of that community. And to stay authentic in today's world is so more important, because if you're authentic, you don't have to worry about putting on a mask. So,
indeed.
Yes, thank you for sharing.
Absolutely, thank you.
And Takia?
Well, I think just to tie both answers together, because I think we share a lot of the same values, what I want to add is knowledge of self. I feel like as we mature and get to learn who we are and whose we are, then we're able to then, as Ebony said, support each other, and we feel comfortable with having a sister circle and supporting our fellow sisters, because we know who we are, and we're strong in who we are. So we're not intimidated by another person's success, or we're not jealous by someone else's success, because we're comfortable with who we are. And then I think just to piggyback, that allows us, that gives us that courage to have integrity, to be unapologetic, to be supportive, and then create these networks so that we can take our vision, our mission, our life's journey to the next level when we create these positive networks or sister circles, as the word that we've used in the introduction. So I think number one, definitely knowing yourself and maturing into who you are.
Mm-hmm. Becoming the best that you can be. And that is so knowing yourself. Because if you know yourself, then you know what triggers are dictating your actions, your decisions, and why you're doing what. Because so many times we end up self-sabotaging ourselves.
Right.
Wow. So listeners, you have heard pack of values, and take one of these values, and if you feel that's something that resonates with you, go ahead and include it in your life. So moving on, so let's talk about branding. We've talked about that women are great when they're authentic. They are letting their hair down. They're stepping into their power. They are these dynamic people who can achieve whatever they want and create a sister circle where they support everyone. So, Ebony, looking at social media perspective and also offline and online, how important is branding?
Branding is very important. And I always tell people, tell your story. Don't leave it to someone else to tell it for you. So, you know, the things that you're commenting on, the way that you're delivering your posts, all of that is very important, because those are a reflection of you, your thought process, and your beliefs.
Mm-hmm. Tell your story yourself, because no one knows better than you. Wonderful. What do you think of it, Takia?
Well, I think branding is so important because that is how you are telling the world or introducing yourself to the world and letting the world know your values, your mission or mission statement, your purpose, and why you choose to do what you do. So I think it's very important to have positive people around you who can tell you the truth about the things that you put out online and how you portray yourself and how you want to introduce yourself to the world. Branding is very important.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Branding is about positioning yourself. It's mm-hmm. having, even if you are a cardiologist, let's say, however, there's so many other cardiologists at the same time. If you have specialized in sports cardiology, those are few and far between. And similarly for women, especially the women entrepreneurs who are in the entrepreneurial game, it is so crucial, as both of you said, to tell your story and make sure that authenticity and your story comes through, because your tribe, your people will be able to connect with it. And definitely great thoughts. So let's think about how does the mindset of grinding for greatness speak to your character? And how has it impacted your drive as a business owner and speaker? Tamara?
So grinding for greatness is something that's near and dear to me. I think one of the things all too often in this day and age where individuals aren't wanting to be critical thinkers, they're not wanting to be problem solvers. They want to try one thing and then they want to give it up. So the idea of grinding for greatness really is at all costs, right? So the panelists and myself, Takiya and Ebony and I, and you all agree that when you're authentic and you're moving in that space, and this is what I'm purposed to do, I'm grinding for greatness. So it doesn't matter the failures, because again, we all understand that failure is a part of success, right? So mm-hmm. there's no one great who's ever done anything successful in their life who did not have to grind for it. So that's mm-hmm. what it means to me. You know, that's your character. So one of my favorite quotes speak to adversity doesn't build character, it reveals it. So when adverse things happen, how are you going to stand? And I believe that I've answered the question, how does it impact my drive as a business owner and a speaker? Because I live in it every day. I live in it, and I do my very best. And not that I get it right every day, and I understand that I'm doing my very best, and as long as I'm doing my very best, I allow myself the freedom to fail. I'm like, okay, Tamara, you know what? This is the angle that we went at today. It wasn't the very best, but we don't give up. So that's grinding for greatness.
Never give up. Adversity rebuilds the character. That is so great, because you're all human beings, and when adversity comes in or some challenges right there, we do break down, and it's okay. It's okay to accept that. And
yes.
The key is, it's not about how many times you fall down. It's about getting up that one extra time after you fall down. So if you fall down 7 times, get up 8 times. Persevere.
Absolutely.
Takiya?
Well, I would definitely am going to reiterate a lot of what Tamara has said, because I really feel like we're really on the same page. Like she said, if you're grinding for greatness, you cannot allow mishaps or failures to kind of come in and discourage you. You have to use those failures as a platform for a lesson, what not to do the next time. And like you said, get up and keep moving forward, because you're walking in your purpose. And so therefore, that is why you're grinding for greatness. I think as a historian, we study those who have left a legacy. And I think that's what we're all doing now. And we're grinding for that greatness so that our legacy can be left and so that those footprints can be left in the sand so someone can say, hey, she tried. And this is what she did, and this is the blueprint that I have to look, to study and to look at so that now I can take this to the next level. So I really believe in grinding for greatness because if you don't want to grind for mediocrity. You want to always take it to the next level and be the best person that you can be and always go at any type of activity with 110% at heart. And that you will always have your greatness, whatever your definition of greatness is, it will always be your greatness. And there's levels to greatness, you know. So I just really believe in that, grinding for greatness. I think that's an awesome slogan. It's an awesome title. And I'm going to have to borrow that.
Absolutely.
Thank you for letting me borrow your title. I think I'm going to share it with my students tomorrow in class when they tell me I don't have my assignment. I'm going to say, you know, you're going to have to grind for greatness.
Tamara, do I have your permission to use your phrase as well?
Absolutely. What we say in sales, steal shamelessly. So please, because I take from each and every one of you because I do enjoy all that you share. So absolutely.
Ebony, you want to add?
Just pretty much Tamara and Takiya, they did a wonderful job of breaking that down. Pretty much for me, I just see it as no days off, you know, and they've said that. Pretty much we're living, walking, we're breathing in our goals every day. We're working towards them every day. So no matter what successes, no matter what failures come our way, we still have to keep pushing to make it to the finish line. So, you know, every day, work towards greatness. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, very insightful insights and very helpful insights. Great takeaways. It's run your race. Remember, folks, as all these three powerful panelists have mentioned, live it, breathe it, grind into greatness, and it's about running your race. And what do people do when they run the race, whether it's a track running or car running or motorcycle race, any of the race, you've got to practice, practice, practice. And when you're doing the practice, that will lead you towards the mastery that you want to achieve, that will take you towards the greatness. And it's the same thing, the grinding. The phrase itself speaks it all. So thank you, ladies, for that powerful insight. Now let's talk about the sister circle. What does it exactly mean? Tamara, would you like to shed some light on it?
Sure, absolutely. I think what it means is treating your sister as yourself. So the sister circle is looking at each and everybody's wins as your wins and vice versa. We have to begin changing the way that we view things, our paradigm. So when we, as we are right now, the four of us, we're considering one another's wins as our own, then guess what? We don't have to worry about competing because we're collaborating, because everybody's benefiting. So when you're thinking about the circle, again, as everybody's pouring into everybody's cup, and guess what? Sometimes Takiya may not sip from it, but Ebony may like, oh my goodness, I need to drink all of this, and vice versa. But it does not mean you stop pouring, because you know what? When we're giving, not everybody's going to need what we have every day, 24/7, but somebody will. So when I think about the circle, that's what I think about.
Mm-hmm. Love it. What are your thoughts on it, Takiya?
Well, I look at a sister circle. For one, a circle can be as big or as small as need be. I think the fact that we're looking at a circle is very important. I think that our sister circle is a group of women who, like Tamara said, we love as ourselves, who we support and support us and in all types of endeavors, whether it be for those students who are listening, particularly college students, those in grad school, entrepreneurs like ourselves, someone that we can bounce ideas off of, someone that we can share our ups and downs with, someone that we trust enough to share some of our ideas that might not be copywritten yet, and someone that we can that we trust their opinion to say to give us that tough love. And say maybe that's not a good idea to go down that route. Maybe it's not a good idea to invest that amount of money into this type of project. But on the other side, someone who's going to be your cheerleader, and like Tamara said, someone who's going to look at your wins as their wins and allow their wins to be your wins as well. I feel like a sister circle is endless. It's limitless to the type of support and the type of love that you pour in and take out of it. And to know the right people to put in your sister circle so that everyone moves forward and everyone wins, and so that we're always consistently collaborating with one another, and that we're always building and making sure that our voices are heard not only as women but just as people in the world.
Mhm. Ebony?
Well, the sister circle is very, very important to me. I believe that it's important for us to have phenomenal women that surround us. And just like Taki and Tamara said, pretty much women who are willing to lift you as they climb. You know, you can ask them questions when you don't know the answers to things. It's the person that you can go to and say, I don't know, can you help me? Those who are willing to acknowledge your strengths and not be intimidated by them. So by not being intimidated, they're willing to bring you to the table and, like I said, embrace you and uplift you. And going back to embracing, you know, our differences are our differences. Some of us have it and some of us don't when it comes to certain things, and just understanding that that's okay. So, like I said, just having a group of strong women that are willing to stand beside you and walk with you as you move forward and you grind for success.
Ooh, yes. Sister circle, from what we've heard from our panelists, is having a group, a team, a family, a community of sisters who are bound together by each other in that circle, who are willing to be the cheerleaders as well as be the person who gives tough love, who is willing to step into that uncomfortable place and hold their partners accountable. Because just like family, right, we have differences. However, as we can depend on the family, that trust. Each and every one of you has brought up such salient points. Trust is the key. Once we trust someone, we open up. We are ourselves, and we can lean on them. A circle where people can lean on each other, and you are not keeping the count. It's pouring in, regardless, because someday, Tamara, as you mentioned, someday somebody will be pouring in more, and someday somebody else will pouring in. And as Takia and Ebony mentioned so beautifully, that support is there. So where, let's say, if you don't have the know-how for something, you can extend your hand out and ask for help without thinking, why do I need help? It's okay to ask for help. Mm-hmm. So listeners, go ahead and form sister circles in your neighborhood, in your area. Create that bond of power, trust, and love. And form your own community. Because the pleasure and the great experience I've had with these three powerful women has been nothing short of phenomenal. So I can definitely recommend my experience that I have had a great phenomenal experience of being in the sister circle. So thank you for including me in your sister circle. As we have talked about the power of sister circle, however, what has happened is we find that several times women are not collaborating. And you see the struggle between the power and influence, whether it's in the management team, whether it is on the panel of university, whether it is entrepreneurs, whether it's in a study group, in colleges or in high schools, or even in middle schools. So what is it that women do not collaborate, and is there a difference between power and influence? So, Takiya, if you will share your thoughts on that.
Sure. excuse me. The first question, why aren't more women collaborating? I think that this has been a cycle that has been taught, that has been passed down. We can't forget that we live in a very capitalistic system where everything is based on competition. Someone has to be at the bottom in order for someone to be at the top, and that's the way that we kind of operate in our capitalistic world. And then I think it gets women get marginalized and put into, I think, over competition because we have been seen as a minority group. The rise of the patriarch that came along during the Crusades long time ago that really kind of knocked women off of their pedestal and did not allow them to maintain their equality to men. So when this happened, not only do we live in a system where competition thrives and runs our day-to-day life, but then as women, we have this double negative on top of us where we're trying to fight for that equality. So you see a lot of women say, well, you know, I'm the only woman, or I can be the only woman. And with that fear of losing your spot as a woman, and then on top of capitalism, we tend to compete with one another to be that token person, opposed to shattering the stereotype and shattering the mindset, this old mindset of there's only one, and doing what we're doing and collaborating and kind of breaking the ceiling and everyone flooding in and saying, hey, there's enough for all of us to be respectful to one another, to be progressive, and to be successful. And when we debunk these myths, then I think that we'll be on the right track to actually turning over a new leaf and realigning our lifestyle with how it used to be in the past, in ancient days.
Very interesting. So what had been the reason for the decline of women's empowerment?
For me, what has been the reason?
Yeah, so since you have such an extensive knowledge about the history of women's empowerment, can you share a little bit about the history and the reasons behind the decline?
Sure. Well, the history behind, at one point in time, women have always collaborated. There are certain kingdoms, there are certain communities where women lead. In the Bible, we've heard of Queen Sheba in East Africa. We've heard of various other women who have ran kingdoms solely or who have been of major influence in certain kingdoms. We've heard of Nefertiti and Nefertari in Kemet, or what is now known as Egypt, to stand side by side beside their kings and their husbands and rule nations. we see this decline come in once we see the creation of the new world, if you will. And you see this rise of the patriarch to come in where women have been dethroned. Women are no longer worshipped as goddesses. At one point in time, you have gods and goddesses. Women hold that rightful place in society. Women have always held a rightful place in what we call Congress, or creating our government and governing communities, and having matrilineal societies where your lineage or your legacy and your name runs from the women or your mother, your grandmother. And with this rise of the patriarch, and we have learning about the Crusades and these holy wars that go on between Christians and Muslims, when this goes on and you have the rise of the patriarch to come out of that, and then the creation of the new world across the Atlantic, you see where women have been subjugated. Women have been kind of degraded and demoted, if you will, to just being child bearers. And this is the sole purpose of women now, just to populate the new world. And because of that and the rise and the creation of capitalism, we see that women have been, again, demoted. And not allow that equality to stand beside their husbands or the male counterparts and rule and govern effectively or equally. So this is kind of the history behind it, and I think we creating these sister circles are being trailblazers, very innovative. When you're looking at turning the tide and rewriting that history and kind of aligning everything to match up to ancient day. And we're very innovative in this and making sure that women's voices are heard and that we have that same equality that we once had in the past.
Oh, wow. A caller online, and I'm going to see if they would like to jump in and if they have questions for our panelists. So the area code, listener from the area code 617.
I don't know if that's me, but I do not have questions. I'm actually just trying to listen.
Okay, thank you for joining in, and if you have any questions, please raise your hand and we will be happy to answer your questions. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. I'm going to go back on mute.
Okay, thank you. So Tamara, let's look at your journey and please share with our listeners, in your opinion, why do you think there is a difference between the power and influence? And if there is a difference, what are the differences? And why do women feel these need to be apologetic?
Well, I think I'll start with the latter question first because it builds into the former. I think one of the reasons, there are many reasons why we feel the need to be apologetic. But when you're looking at us as women, and again, Takiya gave us a great backdrop to some historical context, you know, so we're taking women, you know, whether you're 30, 40, 50, 60, and we're really not living out our dream, or then we have the 18, 19-year-old who thinks that, wow, you know, maybe I don't know what I'm talking about, you know, the older person, more seasoned individual, you know, saying to themselves, well, I can't change my trajectory right now. I think what happens there is we're not taking ourselves seriously. So we're so looking forward to being validated, or we look to be validated and wanting people to say, oh, my goodness, this is valid. Oh, my goodness, this is this and this is that. But if we begin taking ourselves seriously, then we don't have to worry about the whole idea of being apologetic because we are, again, walking in our truth. It's about making a decision, planting your feet, and standing firm in it. Now, talking about the difference between power and influence, and this is unfortunate in my opinion, there are very powerful women, women who are dynamic CEOs and COOs and entrepreneurs of companies, organizations, and we're uncomfortable with the word powerful. We'd rather embrace the idea of being an influencer or being influential. Well, sometimes when you look at them, they're kind of one and the same. But why are we backing down from being powerful? Because, again, we don't want to be, as women, we don't want to be considered, you know, the bossy or the other B word, the B-I-T word. And I think all too often sometimes we are being bossy, because what happens when you are the boss? So, you know, I guess, you know, for me, I'm kind of perplexed, you know, around this whole idea. And so for me, power and influence, they're kind of one and the same, but it's just like anything when we have the idea of what we're doing and how we're doing it, it's all in the individual's perspective. So some people may think that I'm more of an influencer, but how I'm influencing the world, the people around me, is powerful. And some people maybe believe that I'm powerful in the way that I am moving about is influencing individuals. It's influencing trends. It's influencing media. So I think that's part of where we are with, you know, the power influence, because women, we are still, we want to be at the table. The kid said that we want to be at the table, but it's like we want to be at the table and be a chair. We don't want to be at the Titans table and then kind of ruffle feathers. We all have that one person in our life. It's an aunt probably or grandmother. And they're like, oh, here she goes again. Or that one person that you work with who's always has something to say. Now, you know, the presentation, you know, possibly could be a little bit better, but they speak truth, and truth is the only constant. So if we, again, are always walking in our truth and sharing that and understanding that, you know what, this is valid because it's truthful, I think we would then begin kind of eliminating some of the angst and anxiety and the pressures around power influence, and we would be less unapologetic.
Mm-hmm. Great thoughts, Taki and Tamara. And as both of you have said, yes, we, as history has shown us, women have had a rough time in different cultures, different countries. However, look at the progress that women have made over past 60 to 70 years. The listeners, call upon each and every one of you as women, step into your power. Embrace yourself, accept yourself, celebrate yourself. And one of the things I would like to share is we do tend to shy away from the word power. However, there's a difference between power and force. When you step into your own power, into your authenticity, you know that you're coming from a place of values. You're acting from a place of your highest self with the best of the intentions for serving and supporting others. When you come from that place, what you're going to emanate is true power, and it's not force. You're not forcing upon anyone. So power has been one of the most misconstrued and misunderstood word. Fellow sisters, step into your power and lead yourself. Influence yourself, influence others. Now we have our sister circle. Time's just flying away. We need to find out how can and how does it work? So Ebony, I'm going to invite you to share. Like, if somebody wanted to go ahead and form a sister circle, what would be the best way to go about it, and how would a sister circle work?
I think that the first thing to do is to be the type of woman that you want to have around you. Sometimes we don't want to get ourselves right, but we expect all of these phenomenal women to come and gravitate towards us, and that's not realistic. So I think the first thing you have to do is, you know, stay away from the drama. it's okay for you to have disagreements. I value women who discuss instead of accuse, you know, because a lot of times when we're discussing things or there's a misunderstanding, when there's misunderstanding and no one is willing to discuss, you end up offending people, you end up hurting what could be very valuable relationships. Be positive. You know, like I talk, like I've said on numerous occasions, in terms of acknowledging the fact that there are sisters that bring things to the table that you don't have, and you have to be okay with that. You have to acknowledge that. You have to be willing to uplift that sister and, hey, let her stand in the forefront when she is able to do something better. Because like we mentioned earlier, when you're talking about the sister circle, when one wins, we all win. Another thing in terms of having self-respect, you know, be mindful of how you carry yourself because you will attract women who carry themselves in a similar manner. Mm-hmm. So if you are not surrounding yourself, like I said before, with the positive sisters, the women who are willing to push you to the next level, those who are willing to be truthful with you, if you are not that type of woman, you're just not going to attract those type of women to your sister circle. So to answer your question, the best thing to do is to be the best woman, the best sister that you can be, so that you would attract those like-minded people.
Love it. I am just jotting away notes, great ideas, and going for like-minded women and treating them, supporting them, and serving them as you would like to be supported and served. So adding to that, Takia, what mindsets should women bring to have an effective sister circle?
I feel that you definitely have to have a positive mindset. And you have to have, not only do you have to have a positive mindset, positive meaning, a very open mindset, you're coming in with good spirit, good energy, but you also have to have a mindset of reciprocity. And you're going to have to make sure that you're not just taking from the sister circle or you're not just giving to the sister circle, that it's a two-way street. There will be times where people will come in with positive energy. However, after you've reflected, you realize that they're sucking everything dry and you're constantly giving, 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 but not receiving, or vice versa. And if that is the case, then you have to make sure that your mindset is of reciprocity. You're going to give and receive. In a sister circle, because there will be times where your talents will be called on heavily, and then there will be times where it's your season to receive. So make sure that both is in the forefront of your mind. And then, again, just to reiterate what Ebony said, you have to come in with a mindset of self-respect or a mindset of courage and know that you deserve a spot at the sister circle and be unapologetic, as Tamara has said, to know that you're worth it, you're worthy of the information that you're receiving, and you're confident in the information that you're giving, so that you can be a strong link in the circle. There's sometimes where we have created sister circles and women have second-guessed themselves or doubt themselves and doubt their talent and their intelligence. And in order to have a strong sister circle moving forward, you have to put those fears behind, because those fears are not attitudes of righteousness and purpose and leadership. So we have to put our fears behind us and come in with a mindset of courage.
Mindset of courage. Courage is something that takes you from fear to working in life despite the fears. It's not the absence. It's working despite the fears. And having the mindset of reciprocity and respect for yourself. And when we're talking about reciprocity, each and every one of you have touched the point of just not giving, giving, giving. However, maintaining the balance, it's about stepping into your discomfort, leaning into your discomfort, and holding others accountable. Because as you start the sister circle, come together, set up the ground rules. There, people know what is expected, having the clarity in the sister circle. What are the expectations? And we all have human nature where we sign off on the contracts and the clients will come back or your friends will come back and say, oh, why did you do this? Why did you do that? So gently remind your sisters, just take out the contract, which is called the commitment contract, which I have used in my masterminds, and it has worked really beautifully. It's not a contract, yet we still call it as a commitment contract. There you come up with your own ground rules, and everybody signs on it. And one of the rules is usually having the accountability rule, that even though somebody may not like it, you hold them accountable, and don't be harsh, be gentle, and while being the cheerleader, always know it's the action that's not right. It's not that the person is not right. The person is as wonderful as before. So guide their hand with love and walk them through it. Because if they have joined, and if you have invited them in your sister circle, there was something that resonated with you. So very powerful points, ladies, that you have shared. However, and as we have mentioned before, we have talked about the history and the way we have been raised has led women competing with each other. So yes, we will step into sister circles with open heart, and yet we are all human beings. The survival of the fittest, right? Darwin's theory. It's scientific evolution. We do step into our own survival, and the competition mindset does pop up here now. So how can we transition, Tamara, from the mentality of competition to teamwork?
Well, I think one of the, there are a plethora of ways for us to go about transitioning, but I think one of the, it begins with us first and foremost, stop allowing people to tell our stories. As women, we have to begin telling our stories, and like Takiya mentioned, we have to begin debunking the rumors that women don't get along, we can't work together, and we don't like one another, and there's nothing but hate and harm and abrasiveness in our conversations and in our beings. So that's the first thing. I think one of the things that you just spoke about, Divian, when you spoke about the contract, when you're creating your circles, we really have to understand what it means to agree to disagree. I think we play around with it. We walk around and we tap it and things like that, but we really don't do it. And that's one of the things that men have, and they do it effortlessly. They will have these wonderful debates, shouting matches, screaming across the table, and they leave it all out. And then when they leave the boardroom, okay, man, where are we going to have lunch? Let's go pick up a drink. Well, women, we've not, again, learned to be there. I think we have to understand that, Takiya mentioned courage. Have courage to really hold one another accountable at all costs, but do it with love, do it with care, but understand that we're going to disagree. There has to be open and honest conversation about what disagreement looks like. And I think one of the other things, too, with that is we have to stop taking things personal. Just because you disagree with me does not mean that you don't like me, that you're not here to support me. You're disagreeing because, again, we come from different backgrounds. We have more probably similarities than we are dissimilar, but we have to create that space. So stop taking things personally, doing our best. And another thing, we have to stop making assumptions. So we talk about assumptions, and when we see one another, instantly we know 90% of communication is nonverbal. So before someone even opens their mouth, a female, we've already had her sized up before she even said hello. Stop making assumptions, right? And we've all done it. Well, let me own that. I've done it, and I am, again, reprogramming myself and changing my paradigm. And then the other thing, too, we have to be impeccable with our word. Be impeccable with our word. And when we are doing that, we're allowing in courage because there is beauty in vulnerability.
Reprogramming and remarching forward to where you are. So from what you have said, Tamara, that disagreements do happen. Have conversations, have discussions, and don't take it personally. It again goes back to how comfortable you are in your skin. Because usually when we are upset with someone, usually there is something about ourselves that bothers us. It's never about others. It's always about us. So one of the things I would like to add to what these powerful ladies have shared is take a peek into yourself. Is there something that's bothering you before you move on and have conversation? So this does, I mean, there are going to be rifts, and we have learned to take things personally, and it always takes time to change. There are going to be hurt feelings, disappointments, discouragement. How can women in a sister circle heal each other? Ebony, any thoughts on it?
You said how can we heal each other, right? Was that your question?
Yes.
I think it starts with healing ourselves. And I keep going back to the importance of having yourself in check when you come to these sister circles. It's very important. If you can't forgive, if you can't get over things, if you can't stop yourself from taking it personally, then you really can't properly advise somebody else to do it. Because at the end of the day, they're always, you may give someone advice, but as long as they're in that circle, they are watching you. They are learning from you. So I would say first, you know, make sure that you are taking a look into yourself, like one of the phenomenal ladies on the line said, I think it was Tamir, but make sure that you are taking that time to look within yourself so that you can be the best person, the better person, and a sister who is strong enough and has conquered enough to encourage someone else to do the same.
Lovely. Forgiveness. Forgiveness and gratitude. Being grateful of being part of that sister circle, that these sisters have taken you in their family, and when the things come to an intersection where you don't know where to go, let it go. Give somebody the right of the way. Let somebody else in the traffic. Letting go with love and forgiveness and being grateful of part of it. Ooh, wow. The hour has just run away from us. However, I'd like to touch upon a couple of quick questions. Now, are the sister circles only for a certain demographic of women? Tiki, any thoughts on that?
I really believe it depends on what you need your sisters for. And so that's more of a question that I feel like the listener should reflect on, because I know for myself as an educator, I have a lot of sisters in my circle who are educators, administrators, and then who are also students, because I believe in the levels of accountability. And so I do have that demographic, that educational demographic holds a large part of one of my sister circles. I find myself in several different types of sister circles. So I really feel like it that question is reflective of the audience and what they're all trying to achieve. And you can be in more than one sister circle. So, yet you can be in several different demographics of sister circles. For myself, I am in several. But I know that there are some younger women who are just getting started with creating their network and creating their sister circle who might only have that one demographic. They might have their sorority sisters or their club sisters if they're in college, something like that. So I think it varies depending on who the women are.
Mm. So that's good to know. It is not limited to one demographics. Have as many circles as you want. It's about having friends, having family, because mm-hmm. these are your sisters. Just from the name that it's called, sister, they're going to stand by you. And yes, you will have your differences and disagreements. The key is you may disagree, but you agree to disagree. So definitely mm-hmm. I'm going to call upon our listeners to go forward and think about starting a sister circle in their area. Start out with a small one, but please do start. Now, how are women's empowerment sister circles advantages to men? Tamara, would you share your experience?
How are the circles
advantages to men, if they are?
Wow, let me think about that. I think there are always advantages and disadvantages to each and everything that we do, right? So in life, we have to determine, mm-hmm. you know, the pros and the cons, which one we're going to be able to get the most out of and then move in that direction. I think there are advantages for us to be in sister circles with like-minded individuals. Takiya mentioned, you know, some of the ones that she belongs to, educators, administrators. You know, Ebony has some where, you know, she is, again, with individuals, sorority sisters, her and Takiya are, and then also with, you know, young college women. But I think one of the advantages that we have to begin thinking about when we're talking about the differences and the similarities is we have to also put ourselves in their circles, too. And so mm-hmm. there's advantages to us being together because guess what? We can come to the table when we've created these circles that are really what impactful and powerful, and they really feed everybody in the group because we all have different needs. So we come to the table wanting something different. But I think one of the things that we limit when we only think that we should just be speaking to ourselves. So Takiya mentioned giving historical context. We're not here just women. We're not here just to populate. Well, you know what? Men aren't here, you know, just, again, to provide the sperm. They have some other great mm-hmm. things to offer to the conversation. And I think we do ourselves a disservice when we say, well, listen, we don't want them to ever be in a conversation. And because, you know, they have their own group. Well, yes, they have their own group, but there's so much that we can learn and sit at their feet and glean as they can with us as well. So I think that there's advantages, but I think there's disadvantages because if we're looking at, well, we should never have them at the table. We should never bring them in. Not to say that they're there to stay, but again, let's use them the way that they use us and not use in a negative sense. Like Devin talked about power being misunderstood and misused like love is. But again, bring them for what it is that we need. Mm-hmm. And then once we've gotten what we need, all right, then let's move on to the next task. So those are some of the advantages and the disadvantages, you know, of the women's circles.
Definitely makes sense is collaborate because we are
Absolutely.
All part of the team. Yeah, so that makes perfect sense that, you know, collaborate just not with your sisters, but with your brothers as well. And the key mm-hmm. is to learning from each other, unlearning some of the stuff, relearning and growing. Growth is the key. And from the sounds of it, if we have sister circles and the brother circles or family communities throughout the global areas and different cities and different countries, there would definitely be a positive global effect.
Mm-hmm.
What is your vision about it, Ebony?
Well, I think that when we are able to successfully work together, like I mentioned earlier, in terms of not taking things personally and agreeing to disagree, when we are able to successfully work together, then we'll be able to be more effective and better team players when dealing with our male counterparts.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. those are the advantages of having those sister circles and being strong within them.
Definitely. My mind is buzzing and is very active with all the energy that we have had going in this round table. So I would like to thank each and every one of you that it's been a privilege. And in my humble opinion, we have shared so many powerful tips and great insight strategies for our listeners that I sincerely hope that they take all the strategies and the ideas and run with it. So as we close out the show, thank you again for being on the show. And if you can share where our audience can reach to you if they have any questions. Bless you.
Yes, hi. I can be, my website is www.takeiaanthony.com. That is T-A-K-E-I-A. Anthony, A-N-T-H-O-N-Y, TakeiaAnthony.com. You can also find me on Facebook at Dr. Takeia and also on Twitter at Dr. Takeia.
Thank you. Tamara?
Yeah, so currently EmpowerMe.com is offline because we're rebranding. So individuals who'd like to connect with me, I'm also on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and also Instagram at EmpowerMe, EmpowerMee. Also, my email address is Tamara, TAMARA, at EmpowerMe, EmpowerMee.com.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Ebony?
Yes, well, the Meet and Connect website is also down right now. We are doing some rebranding and getting ready to shift a few things around. But I'm always, always on Twitter, and you can find me at Let Us Connect You, and that's not Y-O-U, just the letter U. So once again, that's at Let Us Connect You, and that is the letter U. You can also email me at Ebony, that's EBONY, at meetandconnectinc.com. I look forward to hearing from you.
Thank you, Ebony. Thank you, Tamara. And thank you, Dr. Takeia. It's been a pleasure having you on the show and a privilege. Thank you again. And listeners, I'm your Divya Parekh, your host. If you need to reach me at contact@DiviaParekh.com. It is contact at DIVYAPAREKH.com. And also, just so that you know, we are coming out with a book, Unlock Your Future, The 7 Keys to Success for Young Adults, because it is very crucial to have our next generation stepping into their power, collaborating, and having collaboration as the new competition. Thank you, listeners, for joining us. And until next time, be powerful. Take care.